There was not very much more water to be had either as they flew onward. The waterholes which they found were almost all drying up in the heat of the day in a suspicious manner.
"I expect they are telling one another to dry them up for us,"
Temeraire said, rather disgruntled, as he lapped a little water up from a rocky basin. He could not take nearly as much as he wanted, as it should have to serve for all.
"Well, let us dig up some more of these coverings, and then I will breathe fire in at them,"
Iskierka proposed.
"That will bring them out, and they will soon learn not to be causing trouble for us."
"I don't see why you must be so quarrelsome," Caesar said. "I suppose if you want to be dragging up their houses all over, you can't be too angry if they don't like it, and I don't much fancy waking in the middle of the night up to my neck in sand either. We must leave them a kangaroo or two, and see if that sweetens them up to give us water."
"As if we were going to give them presents, after the way they have behaved,"
Temeraire said, revolted, and Iskierka snorted her disdain. But much to their shared dismay, Lawrence and Granby thought the idea sound.
"Consider, my dear, the very real difficulty we should have in constantly facing the objections of so widespread and hostile a force," Lawrence said, "if indeed they are communicating, as you imagine not without grounds. And we are not here to pick quarrels with Bunyips or anyone else, for that matter,"
Granby said.
"We are here to find that egg, and be shot of this wretched desert. If they like to live here, there is no reason we shouldn't leave it to them, if you ask me."
To make matters worse, Rankin alone disagreed.
"You will only encourage the creatures by bribing them," he said, "and induce them to think humans more worthwhile prey. They ought to be eradicated, one and all."
If he did concede so far as to not at once fire all the Bunyip's lairs, which was a pity, as it seemed to Temeraire an excellent strategy, particularly as the Bunyips should also have to flee the smoke and come out for a proper fight instead of hiding away, Temeraire could not quite see his way clear to leaving the Bunyips a kangaroo.
"It is no more thrown away than letting that one stuff it into his gullet,"
Caesar said, meaning Kulingile. But for his part, Temeraire felt he should rather feed Kulingile 20 kangaroos than see the Bunyips profit from one when he had hunted it down.
"If we had begun by tearing up their homes," he said, "I might see the justice in it. But after all, we did not. We did not even know they were there until after they had stolen some of our men and eaten them, which is barbarous anyway. If anyone were to be apologizing and giving presents, it ought to be them and not us. Instead, they are only quarrelling more, by stealing the water now, too."
"If they have brought the water there in the first place, it seems to me they aren't the ones doing the stealing," Caesar said.
But that was plainly absurd. It was not as though the Bunyips had made the water. The water was there, and they had only moved it to a place most convenient for themselves, to trick people into coming near their traps, another part of a low, sneaking strategy which deserved not the least bit of credit.
"Anyway, they might have said something if they did not like us to drink. They set the water out on purpose, and make it look as though it is not theirs, so it does not seem to me they can complain if we treat it like any other water,"
Temeraire said. But it was very tiring and inconvenient to have to stop over and over to drink what little they could get of any one waterhole. It was not even restful, for one could not feel refreshed with so little to drink, and his throat ached all the worse. Temeraire still felt a deep, unpleasant ache in his forelegs and hindquarters after his ordeal, and it was more of an effort than it ought to have been to spring aloft every time. He sighed a little. And they must again fly sweeps, to watch for any fragment of pottery or silk or anything else which might have been brought from China. Of course he was glad to have found the trail again, but there was no denying it was pleasanter flying when they could only guess, and go on flying straight. However, watching the ground as they drew near yet another half-dry waterhole, he did at length, near the end of the day, catch sight of a little movement, a shadow which did not quite fit the rest of the ground. And Temeraire realized all at once it was one of them, the Bunyips. He dived at once, stretching, and the Bunyip burst suddenly into motion, skittering away across the sand towards a bare patch of ground. And as Temeraire reached, it squirmed itself madly beneath the earth, casting up a cascade of sand at its heels as it burrowed. It was astonishingly quick. Temeraire landed and stuck his claw inside the freshly dug tunnel, and could not reach it. He sat back on his haunches and hissed in displeasure.
"Come out, you wretched craven thing," he called into the tunnel and looked back. "Lawrence, are you quite sure you would not like us to smoke them out? I am certain we could quite easily manage them if they did not squirm and run away so."
"'And so ensure an endless sequence of attacks,' Lawrence said, "'further delaying our search for the egg. "'Pray let us continue on, my dear.'
"'You may consider,' Dorset said, peering over, "'that it is in their nature to hunt from their burrows, "'and the consequence of our own venturing into a country we do not know. "'And after all, you are eating the game on which they depend for sustenance. "'We are as foolish to resent their predation as cattle would be to despise you.'